like. He was healing people of every kind of illness that they had, including taking demons out of people. It's hard to imagine that, but Jesus kept showing that there was nothing beyond his power by the authority of God and the power of God for him to do. And so it was that more and more people were gathering around him to see this and bringing their ill to him to have him heal them. And as this crowd amassed, Jesus did the other thing that Jesus did so well, and that was to teach people about the way of God. And so here this crowd just grew and grew and grew, and the day became late. And Jesus' apostles came to him and said, Jesus, we're out here away from cities, and we've got this large crowd, and it's time for dinner. People are getting hungry. You need to send them away so that they can find a place to buy food or a place to go eat, but you need to send them away. And Jesus turned to them and said something absolutely incredulous to them. He said, you feed them. Can you imagine? Jesus' apostles turned at him, and one of them said, well, Jesus, it would take 8 months' wages to feed this crowd. They thought he'd lost his mind. 8 months' wages, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? It just seemed like something that was ridiculously impossible. And just at that point in time, one of the apostles brought a small boy up to Jesus, and he said, you know, here's this boy, he's got 5 small barley loaves. You can imagine these loaves as smaller than your fist wrapped up, okay? And he's got 2 small fish. Basically, it was the kid's lunch. And can't you just hear the sneering and the sarcasm and the cynicism in the other apostles? Like, oh, that's going to do a lot of good. But Jesus took that little, that very little, and he blessed it. And the scripture tells us that he fed 5,000 people. Now, the scripture doesn't stop to say he just fed them or that he fed 5,000 people. It says that he fed them all they wanted. It wasn't just a few bites. It was until they were full. And if that wasn't enough, scripture goes ahead to tell us that then he had them collect 12 baskets of leftovers. It's probably going to take it down to the local rescue mission. 12 baskets of leftovers after feeding 5,000 people. And it just goes to show that with Jesus, in Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. A little means a lot. And you know, it wasn't very long later that we read about a similar situation arising. And again, there was only collected about 7 loaves of barley, again, small loaves, and a few fish. And again, this same thing seems to happen, that Jesus' apostles are at a loss to figure out what they're going to do, but Jesus is not at a loss. Jesus is not stumped with what can be done with a little. And we read that he fed 4,000 people plus women and children. So we don't know how many people that involved, but we know it was more than 4,000, and they took up 7 baskets of leftovers on that occasion. Once again, with Jesus, a little means a lot. Closing his letter to the Christians in Rome, Jesus' follower Paul mentioned many people that he appreciated. You've undoubtedly read Romans chapter 16 on a number of occasions, or maybe you just skimmed it. Seems like it's kind of unimportant stuff. Seems like Paul just closing his letter out. But in that particular chapter, Paul thanks person after person or recognizes person after person. And what we see is that most of these people who he mentions as having done something had done something that seemed small to them. It seemed like such a little thing that they had done to them. He mentions certain people that he says were like a mother to me. He mentions other people who opened their home so the church could be there. He mentions people who had helped out in a variety of ways to them as well as to us. We read that and we don't think much about it. We read over it. It's small stuff. It's little stuff. But to Paul, whatever they had done had contributed to the spread of the gospel and to the strengthening of Christians. Would you say this with me? In Jesus' hands. Go ahead, say it with me. In Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. In Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. We need to remember that. In Romans chapter 12 and in verses 6 through 8, Paul mentions a sampling, just a sampling, of spiritual gifts. His mantra with each is this: if you have a gift, use it. If you have a gift, use it. If you have a gift, use it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that every Christian has one or more spiritual gifts. And with it again, what Paul says is, whatever you have, use it, because, would you say it with me? In Jesus' hands, say it with me, in Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. We need to see that over and over and over in Scripture. You may not think that your gifts are spiritual. You may look at certain gifts like maybe being able to teach or to preach, or maybe being able to pray, or some other thing as being spiritual. But your gifts, your abilities, your skills are outside that. And therefore, they're insignificant. They're inconsequential. They have no spiritual value. Let me suggest to you, let me affirm to you, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Listen to Exodus chapter 35. Beginning in verse 30, on through chapter 36 of Exodus, and verse 1. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given him both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with the skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded." Now, what's he talking about? To do the work just as the Lord commanded. This all had to do with the building of the tabernacle, this large tent, this place not only in which God was to be worshipped, but this place in which the Spirit of God would live. God embodied or enabled these craftsmen with certain kinds of very physical skills to do something that would accomplish great spiritual meaning and value. If you have craft skills of whatever type, don't think, number one, that they haven't come from God. And don't think, number two, that they don't have spiritual value. God has given those to us. When a need arose to help Christians, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, in verses 1 through 5, Paul wrote this: "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." They took what little they had in poverty, and they gave it to the Lord. To many people, that would seem like something that was absolute madness. It would seem like that is fanaticism. But to them, that was absolute dedication to the Lord. And look how God blessed them because of that. What do these two stories about the builders of the tabernacle and these Christians here, these impoverished Christians impress upon us, but this one thing. Again, say it with me. In Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. In this month of Thanksgiving, we need to thank God for his gifts, all of his gifts, no matter what they are, no matter what nature we may categorize them in, because God categorizes them all into one category, God-given, God-blessed. We're blessed by them, and we're expected to bless others with them. We have no abilities. We have no skills. We have no gifts. We have no resources that were not given to us by God. Nothing. God gave each of these gifts to bless people. He gave these gifts to bless his church. He gave these gifts to enable his work. So we need to thank God for his gifts. We need to thank God for his gifts to other people. We need to thank God for his gifts to us. And we need to thank God for the blessings that these gifts provide. If you're not already actively and continually involved in organized ministries of this congregation, we want to urge you with something in the strongest possible way, and that is to prayerfully consider becoming involved in some way in the ministries that we're going to be sharing with you this afternoon during our lunchtime. What you may consider to be too little to have value, when it's combined with others, has great value. Remember, in Jesus' hands, a little means a lot. We need to thank God for his gifts to you. Whoever you are, whatever gifts you have, whether it's one or a few or many, thank God for his gifts to you, because altogether, they bless all of us, and they bless God's work as he intended. Today, the emphasis is on youth and young adults, because they are more open to the gospel of Christ than any other age group. So our efforts toward them will be more productive in terms of the time and the effort that we put out. But God sent his Son to die for the sins of every person who would believe in him, regardless of age, every person who would repent of their sins, every person who would confess Christ as their Lord and Savior of their life, every Christian, every person rather, who would be united with him in baptism to become a Christian. We're little among God's creations. It's hard to imagine just how little we are when we look at the whole of the universe, of all of God's creation. We are infinitesimal. But because of God's great love for us, we mean a lot to God. So much that the God of the universe, the God who created the universe, the God who it would seem would have such a hard time seeing us in the scale of the universe, loved us so much that he sent his Son, who he loves deeply, to die for us, that we might live forever with him. Have you given your life to him? Have you thanked God for your gifts? Have you given yourself to using the gifts that he's given you to his service to be a blessing? We want to urge you this morning to take your little, to give it to God, and allow God to make a lot for you and of you in your life and in the lives of others. If we can help you in any way in coming to Christ, coming back to Christ, coming for strengthening from your fellow Christians, coming in any way to learn more about him, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.